Yeah, they say amen. You're not there yet. Amen. He ain't even opened the Bible yet. Judges 6. Judges 6. Say with me now. Judges 6, verse 7. Judges 6, verse 7. When you're there, say amen. Say it like you mean it. Amen. You know what amen means, right? Is I agree with you and I accept. That's what it means. Amen. You're not agreeing with me. You're agreeing with God, His scripture, His truth. So now when I read it and then you say amen at the end, it says, I believe your word, I agree with it, and I accept it. It's truth. Amen. Okay, we there? Hallelujah. Judges 6, verse 7. Comes right at you. He's going to come right at you now. I'm going to begin reading out the NIV version. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, He sent them a prophet. Who said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians, and I delivered you from the hand of all your oppressors. We could stop right there if we wanted to. But here's the thing. I know. Thank you, Jesus. Let me finish. Okay. Yeah, snap. I drove them out from before you and gave you their land. Oh, I love that right there. Okay, stop. I drove them out from before you and gave you their land. That's a good God right there. Okay, let me just back up a little bit. I just want to share something with you so I can set this up real quick. The Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian. What was happening is Israel, the Israelites, had sinned against God and they were worshiping other gods. And He comes and reminds them. He says, I've raised up a prophet now on behalf of Israel. And then he reminds them of what He did already in the past. I brought you out of slavery. Now, is He talking to people that have passed on and then their kids grew up and they don't know nothing about what God did? Or is He talking to them that know? See, what happens is the church folks get so used to God bailing them out. I know, right? I feel like an alien at times. God reminded them, I brought you out of slavery. You should be shouting right there. He says, you're not going to be slave to your oppressor no more. Now, He didn't even stop there. He says, then me, Esther right here, Esther, me, drove out your oppressors. I drove them out. Not only did I drive them out, I gave you their land. Wait a minute now. Why is God saying I gave you the land? Because He's reminding them what He did in the past. He's going to do it again. But what happens when we get so comfortable that God always rescues us from our troubles? You know, the cell phone bill that has to be paid because it's 2 months. And as long as you make one payment on time, that when the next cycle hits, it's not going to get turned off. You know how y'all do that. Because some of us can't live without our cell phones. Some of y'all don't even have the real phone at home no more because we just use cell phones. Mm-hmm. You know the society has changed. They don't even ask for your home phone anymore. It's cell phone. Primary phone. How would you like to be contacted via text or email? I wish we could go back to those old days where we had the phone, the rotary phones with that long old tail. Yeah. I kind of like that thing. Before call waiting. Listen to this. Listen. Before the call waiting. So that when someone called you, it was a busy signal. You don't know what I'm talking about? It was a busy. Oh, something on the other line. So none of this rejection would set in. You just don't want to hear from me. You don't want to talk to me because you know what? You on the line. I knew you were on the line, but you just didn't want to talk to me. And you know how many times I get that? Oh, yeah. All right, now, well, you know, that's not the one, but, you know, hey, hallelujah. But back in the day, if you're busy, you're busy. They know you're on the other line. All of a sudden, some of y'all, you kids don't know nothing about this. You don't know nothing about this. You dial zero and get the operator. And break for an emergency phone call. Bloop, bloop. This is the operator breaking in for an emergency phone call. You have a call from such and such. Oh, I got to go. There's an emergency. Child, what you been doing today? I've been calling you all day. Ain't no emergency. See, y'all kids don't know nothing about that. Don't tell them. Y'all don't even know about the big old phone that used to hang on the wall. Y'all know about the phone that used to hang on the wall? You got one? No, not this one. No, where you pull this in and you, and here, and then you talk right here. Y'all don't know about that one. And you couldn't even move around.
Yeah, mama, okay. Yeah,
but you can't reach. We've come a long way. Done got lost. Where was I? And the phone. Back. Cell phone, because you didn't get your bills paid. I got there. But hold on. We always get used to God bailing us out. So church gets full on Easter and on Christmas. Because if we get into Christmas mode and we get to church during Christmas, we make it right with God and we get some good gifts. And if we do it right for Easter, that means that we get everything for the rest of the year right. Because we're so used to making things when we need it. And we go to God, and the church has been so out of alignment. God is trying to get us back in alignment again. Scripture proves it. History after history. Israelites were always, they had God to themselves. They had God. God, he was, yes. No, we over here, Lord, Jesus. Lord, I fasted 21 days, Lord. Jesus. Cricket, he don't even answer you. They had God. God would even send an angel. What? We're going to read in the story a little bit. Send an angel. I have given the Midianites into your hands. Clear. Are y'all hear me? He would send angels. Angels. And they would come on in and say, Sylvia, you have found favor with the Lord. I will give your enemies into your hand. I says, what's the response? I'm paraphrasing. This is the way my Bible reads. Just hold on. Gideon responds, how will I know? Read the story of Gideon. Yeah, how will I know? I got to know. Inquiring minds want to know. We need proof. But if it's true, will you wait for me? Read the story. Didn't he tell the angel, wait here. Don't leave until I bring you something to eat. Now, it's not like my family. They can whoop up a batch of enchiladas, rice, beans, pico de gallo, and walk them on in about 5 minutes. I hadn't even made the gravy yet for enchiladas. I'm still trying to figure out how to make it. But my family, rice, beans, enchiladas, guacamole, pico de gallo, hot sauce, all that, in about 5 minutes. Dinner's ready. I just walked through the garage, not too straight. I don't know how they do it. Watch what Gideon does. He gets a goat. Are you reading your Bible? You can read down through the story. He gets a goat. Is goat meat tender? Hello? I'm what? If it's a baby, does it happen real fast? No, because in reality, you've got to cook it a long time. Slow. Because if you cook it fast, what you said? It's tough. Watch this. So the angel, sitting under a tree, waiting for knucklehead Gideon. waiting for this goat to be cooked. It takes time because they boil it. They boil it. But the angel gave him instructions. Cook it. Separate the broth from it. Bring me the meat and the bread without leaven. He cooked the bread without leaven. That'll take me in a whole different direction. Leaven is the yeast that makes things rise. If you have leaven in your life, pride makes you rise. So he baked the bread and gives the amount of flour he used. He was making tortillas. Good stuff, yeah, good stuff. And then he burns it on the side just a little bit to get out of there, just crispy on the outside. Ooh. Okay. No, God's getting hungry. You know those tortillas that when you smell them on the comal, they start to smell. It's incense of worship that goes up before the Lord and he receives it well. Now watch it. Watch it. That was good. Keep it spiritual. Keep it spiritual. Okay. Now listen. So he's waiting. But there were some instructions. He says, keep the meat separate, the bread separate, and keep the broth that you cooked it in separate too. Some things have to be in alignment. The flesh has to die. Pride has to die with it. And everything that was cooked up in it at the same time needs to be separated from it. They didn't get it. They didn't get it. It was too deep, too deep, too deep. But the best fish are caught in the deep. So let me go deep with you. Okay? So we can get all the little perch. Those are the little ones like this. Those are the only ones I ever catch. They're like this. But I can wait. You want to tell my wife? I got on the phone with my son, and it was about that big. I couldn't even carry it. You got to separate three things. Separate them. The reason why he was making them separate these things, because if you read in the previous chapter, in chapter 6, he speaks to them concerning what he wants him to do. He says, you've been following other gods. The Israelites have. And God is speaking to him. Wish he would speak to us like that right now. And then he says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go in there, and I want you to bring down the altar of Baal and the pole of Asherah. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to use the wood that they carve for their god and use that for firewood. Cut it down. Not only that, I want you to use the Asherah pole. Cut that down too and use that for wood too. And the meal that you want me to eat, this is what I want you to do. The one that you cooked and prepared, the one you made me wait under this tree for a long time to cook while you were over there playing in the kitchen. Now that when you bring it, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take it over there. And when we get there, I want you to put the meat down, then the bread, then I want you to pour everything on top of it from the soup. Again, what happened? Alignment. I want you to put the meat, the sacrifice, get the flesh down. Then I want you to get the pride down. Then I want to get everything that has been percolating in you, that has caused you to always run back to this God. Put it on there. This is what the angel does. Because he couldn't leave until he made him something to eat, until he enjoyed something to eat. What did the angel do? He gets a rock. What does he reach for? The rock. What does he reach for? The rock. Who is the rock? Jesus. What did Jesus come to do? He touched that sin offering. He touched that very thing that was separating him from God. And immediately it was all consumed and the angel departed. I want to preach just right there. Sometimes we've got to be in alignment with what God says for us to do and put some things on the altar of the things you keep running to making your God. The Israelites kept on making gods of all kinds of things. What I find very interesting is that Gideon's daddy here, is told, hey, I woke up in the morning and I noticed that our God, plural, gods have been cut down. And we heard that it was your son Gideon. Let's go kill him. That's what the Bible says that. So daddy said, wait a minute. If Asherah is a god, why are you trying to defend him? if Asherah is really a god, let Asherah defend himself. What you say? You want to know if the god that other people are serving that are real or not? Ask them, do they have a relationship with their god? Ask them. Every god in every other religion doesn't want a relationship. They want you at a distance. You don't want to play. Mm-mm. The only one in history and even today that wants relationship is God Almighty. Through his son Jesus, you have access to the Father. And doesn't judge you. Mm-hmm. Doesn't condemn you. Doesn't strike you down dead because you said a bad word. You're not a Christian if you cuss. You're not a Christian if you wear makeup. What you talking about? Oh, that's religion for real. Uh-huh. You know why? Because they don't want all the women that are wearing makeup to make the men lust after them. You can wear, put as much makeup as you want. That ain't going to make men lust. I'm just saying. Watch it. I wasn't supposed to hear that one. Or you cannot cut your hair. Or curl your hair. How many of y'all know about the back in the day you couldn't curl your hair? With a curling iron or with curlers. So what would they use to curl their hair? Soup cans. Because they didn't use it with the curler. They didn't use curlers, those pink curlers. So in order for them not to sin, they went and circumvented what the law was saying. So I didn't use a curler. I used a can. Look it up in church history. You think I'm lying to you? Yeah. I'm in church. Okay. What about this one? Religion, you can't watch TV. Remember that? All this holiness hit the nation and you couldn't watch TV. So TVs were out the window. No TV. That meant no Netflix on your iPad. Your phones and iPods. No Netflix. Couldn't watch nothing. You don't believe me? What you said, no dancing? But even though that David danced before the Lord, there was no dancing because dancing was of the devil. Do you see how legalism gets in? See, all these kind of different things get formulated around what man says is holy. And it has nothing to do with holiness. It has to do with keeping you bound. And guess what happened? Guess what loosed these people from television? There was an evangelist beginning to show all kinds of healing that was taking place and all kinds of salvations happening. And it was on TV. So the same church that came against you for watching TV because it was the devil was out buying TVs again because they wanted to watch what was going on because of this evangelist. Yeah. Oh, so now it's holy again. Do you see what I mean? Religion always puts things on you that was never from God. Relationship always gets you to God, where religion tries to separate you from God. This is what the Israelites were doing. They were going after a God that they made so that they could see. But all through Scripture, God still delivered the Israelites. Still delivered them, even in their state of a mess. Are you hearing me? The Israelites didn't repent. The Israelites didn't turn away from the God. Only Gideon did. Then he asked Gideon. Gideon asked the Lord, Lord, what have we done? And how are you going to deliver us? How have you found favor with us? God only said, I only found favor with you, Gideon. Watch what Gideon did. He included all of them. Yeah, when we can get in churches where the pastor includes everybody in a blessing. How about we get in the church as a group in unity all across denominations and say, we're one. We're one. How you worship, how I worship, we're one. Worshiping the same God through the same advocate, which is Jesus Christ. We do that, we, us, all of us, get delivered from our oppressors. You understand that? Because all we got to do is get together and say, you know what, let's cross all denominational barriers. Let's cross all of this, how you do your thing, how I do my thing. Let's look beyond that. Let's look at what the greater cause is. And let's get the kingdom back in alignment and put things back in order and put it back on track where it's supposed to be. And we can step into what God has given us. Agreement. What he said unto the Lord is, how will you deliver us, not just me? What? God didn't come to Israelites. He came to Gideon. Directly to Gideon only. But Gideon had a heart for people. For people. Because they had a heart for people, God could use him. Because of the heart for people. Isn't that good? Oh, that's so beautiful. But watch this. Watch what Gideon does. You read this story. I don't have time to go through it all. And we're getting close to time. Look. What I want you to understand is that they were all jacked up. Israelites were jacked up. They were in all kinds of sin because they were already worshiping other gods. And he already told them never to worship other gods. You know what? Let's just make a wooden idol and it'll be our god. So I wonder if we were to put that new, what's that that movie that came out with that doll? The new, what if we put Annabelle as a god? It's a doll. You haven't seen the commercials for the movie that just came out, Annabelle? Remember Chucky? Remember Chucky? Okay. Now, what are we going to do if we put a doll for our God and the doll is going to save us? Okay, not that. Okay, Raggedy Ann and Andy we put right there. Y'all more willing to say, okay, that one, okay, not that, okay, because they're smart. This is what Israelites did, but they already seen God deliver them out of so much. Not only provide for them supernaturally in the wilderness because they were hungry. And then after God has been feeding them, they get mad. We don't want this stuff no more. Kind of like how we do today. I don't want this. I just ate that last week. I just ate that. I want to have something else. I don't like what they have. Can God give us something else? Again, why? Why? I want rice and beans. We've been having it for 6 days straight. Why do I want to get? I want some pasta. You won't get rice and boy. Woo! Almost went back there. You can enjoy this rice and beans. I don't care how many times we eat it because that's all we have right now that you're going to eat. Yeah, rice and beans. If you want to have something, we don't have no hot sauce. Put some ketchup on it. You know that, Chris? Huh? You're going to have rice and beans, and you're going to eat it, and you're going to enjoy it. Hallelujah. But they got mad. Even though when God was providing. Watch this. Did he strike them dead? He gave them quail. They didn't have to hunt. The bird just came. It came to their tent. They didn't have to do nothing. They didn't have to get no bow and arrow. They didn't have to get no gun. They didn't have to make that slingshot. Remember the slingshots we used to make? Get the rubber bands, get the rock, and pull real hard, and then it come back. You know why he had to do it for them? Because they were slaves. They didn't know how to do anything. We are not slaves. We're free. We've been set free from everything of our past, but yet, God, you got to get me out of this thing that I got myself into. You just got to do it. Because I go to church. Pay my tithes. I serve in leadership. I do it for the kids in the back, and that's not my ministry, but I do it. Don't like greeting, but I'm greeting. I know what I've been through. Hey, how you doing? Lord, you got to do it. Bless you. Wait, come on in. But you got to do something, God, because I'm just tired of this. Bless you. Would you like that in the front row where you were? We can put a plate off real quick. But he comes in to Gideon, and Gideon says, you're going to deliver us? And then he gives excuses. Watch. He says, wait a minute. I'm of the smallest tribe, and my men, they're scared. I've got lots of men, but they're scared. They're not even warriors. They don't even know how to fight. How is this going to be? So then God tells him, you know what? You're right. You got way too many. Now, the Midianites, the Bible describes them so many like a swarm of locusts. They were devourers. Not only devoured people, they devoured the land. That their camels were so many. That the donkeys were so many. So much. So in other words, Gideon saying, this is just too much for me. Because the people that I'm with, they can't even fight. They want to run. God says, ask them. Any of you that are scared, you can go home. Deuces! They took off. Left with 10,000 of them. God says, that's still too many. Because when I give you the victory, they'll say that they did it because of their numbers. Well, what do I do, God? This whole time, God has given them instructions. It's like, I mean, did you understand that you have a relationship with God and he's giving you instructions for your victory? And yet, you just don't want to listen to him? So Gideon, before all this happens, he puts a fleece. You know what that is, a fleece? God, on the threshing floor, I'm going to put some wool on the floor. And I want dew on the wool, but not on the floor. Then I'll know you're giving me victory. Big old piece of wool. You know the wool carpet that nobody can walk on because it's brand new, it's fresh, it's clean, it's white. So he goes into the threshing floor and he looks at it with the wine press. Mira, there's dew on the wool. So he gets it up, he wrings it out, fills up a big old jar. Still didn't get it clear. This time, God, don't get mad at me. You know how we do. He says it the second time in a row. God already performed a miracle right there before his eyes supernaturally. And he says, okay, don't get mad at me. But this time, don't get the wool wet, just the floor around it, and then I'll know. So he goes into the wine press. He looks at the wool. Mira, it's wet all around, but the wool. See, if y'all read the Bible, you some of the things you put yourself in, like, yeah, that'd probably be me. God, if it's really you, you'll make the chairs turn into a halfway moon by itself. You'll clean all the chairs automatically, and I won't have to worry about it. You'll vacuum the sanctuary before I even get there, and I won't have to do nothing. Then I'll know it's you. We do all kinds of silliness. God honored it, though, because of the heart. Because of the heart. Now watch. So now he's getting ready to do all this. He already asked him, if y'all are scared, you can go home. They all take off. That's 10,000. That's too many. So what do I do, God? What do I do? He's already told me you got victory. I'm giving you the Midianites into your hands. Watch this. And he says, take him down to the river. What you said now. Down by the riverside. Down by the riverside. Y'all know that one? Huh? Y'all know that one? Well, sing it with me. Sing it. What is it? Huh? Sing it now. Come on. Y'all don't know it? Come on, girl. Don't make me put a fleece out there.
Why would it? It's down by the riverside. Now come on now. Get up now. It's down by the riverside.
All right. See? Down by the riverside. So he takes him down to the riverside and he says, but I want you to stand back. I want you to watch. Watch this. I'm going to point something out now. Now, this is supposed to be fighting men, right? Gideon's fighting men. Gideon. Gideon. What am I going to do, God? He goes, stay right here. Let them go get water. What am I supposed to do? He goes, the ones that are fitting for a fight, I will show you.
Can you move that microphone?
Are you about ready to go into battle? But the ones that I'm going to tell you to pay attention to, what's this? The ones that get down on their knees and lap the water like a dog, don't choose them. Wait a minute. Why not? Y'all don't know my story. Listen. Because their face would be down and not on the enemy. Not ready and staying ready. Not ready and staying ready. So if they get down like a dog and lap like a dog, that ain't the ones you want. He says, the ones you want are the ones that get down on one knee, bring the water to their mouth and look around and lap it from their hand. That's the ones you want. Because they're always looking out for everyone else, not themselves. That's not in the Bible, Pastor. Listen, if someone that you're about to go in battle with is always putting their head down and they're not looking for what's coming ahead, that's not who you want to follow in leadership either. Because they're the ones, I was praying all day long, and I was praying. You still ain't got no clarity? I don't need to follow you. If you so double-minded that God said, now he didn't say, but God said then, and he said now 10 minutes later he didn't say, that's not who you want to follow. You want to get in alignment with someone that is looking out for your interests. Someone's coming to take her out, and I've got to be ready. Got down to 300. This is the real 300, not that. Sparta. We are Spartans. The real 300. Watch this. Didn't even lift up a sword. Watch this. I ain't through yet. Three elements. I talked about it. Three things. The sun, the earth, and the moon came into alignment. The 300 broke up into three groups of 100 each. And one went on one side, one went on the other side, and one went in the middle. Stand up, Michael. Stand up, Oscar. And as they're standing and they're waiting, they're carrying with them a jar that had the oil, which was a lantern. And in the other hand, they had a sword. This is what Gideon says. Watch this, what I find very interesting, that God never said anything concerning how to do it. He divides them into three groups. They came into alignment by agreement. In agreement, the Bible says what? One can put 1,000. So natural arithmetic says 2 can put 2,000. How is it that when you put 1 and 2 together, you go from 1,000 to 10,000? God don't know how to count, but I like his arithmetic better than mine. Right? See, he puts 2 together, can put 10,000. In other words, because you come in agreement, the span that it would have taken 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, is automatically bent. What is bent? In the lunar eclipse, the light is bent. It's bent. You guys can get ready over there. Jonathan, can you hit the... Now listen. Popo, can you stand up over there, please, sir? Watch this. Gideon was with one of the three groups. He says, what we're going to do is we're going to go down there, but at my command... This is what I want you to do. I want you to shout out loud. And then I also want you to break that lamp. And watch what will happen. So what happens at the same time, they all come in agreement. The three come into agreement. Do you know what really happened? Come on, Papa. Come on. The agreement started when they were in line. They were in line. Come on, turn around. Come on, quickly. Turn around. Turn around. They were in line. Turn around. They were in agreement and they were in line. The order was given. And for in order for it to be orchestrated, one went in that direction. Go right over there to the wall. I want you to go over there in this way. Go over there to the corner. Watch this. And so what took place? Agreement came together through the Father, the Son, and through the Holy Spirit. And because he agreed with the thing that God told him to do, by minimizing what he had abundance of, God took him down to the little when he didn't have enough to beat the biggest enemy that the earth has ever seen. He said, because when you get in agreement with what I say, thus saith the Lord, when you get in agreement with what God is about to do in your life, he will bend. He will bend and take what would have taken years and bend it to come together in one moment, in one instant, will change everything. And then he says, shout and break it open and shout that Gideon and God have victory. And when that took place, the enemy began to run and scatter. They began to kill themselves. And Gideon's 300 never lifted a sword to fight. You've been trying to fight battles that you think it's your battle to fight. It's God's. It's God's battle to fight. And all you got to do is just be obedient and get in alignment with thus saith the Lord. Bend for you. So that in an instant things can change. Can be dealt with. And it's no longer the same. Now it's new. It's so interesting that the blood moon is on the 8th day of October. Where the harvest and a new beginning. The scientists of NASA say that the reason why the blood moon gets real red is because there's particles in the air. Like that of volcanic ash in the air. Something had to be erupted because of pressure that is in the atmosphere, so that when the sun beams light, what is reflecting the light is what had been erupted in the earth. How he can pull you out and grab hold of you. Not only to grab a hold of you and change a perspective, but to have a relationship without legalism and without all kind of condemnation, that you desire more of him, then he sends you right back in so that you can pray for them. It's been a setup from day one. Saying, son, I've used you and I've called you such a time as this. I hid you like I hid Jesus in the world. And in my timing, I brought him out, mama. And because I brought him out, I will use him with the love of God and not condemnation. I will use him because he loves people. That's the whole reason why you fell in love with him. Yeah, because he's good looking. You know, it's because he was nice. He was caring. He was respectful. You could help a lot of women in here. Really could. By telling them, don't settle for just looks. They got to have the heart. The heart. I had the privilege of marrying this precious couple this Sunday. God brought you out so that he could put you right back in. What did he do with Gideon? He brought him out to take him right back in. But to give him victory in an instant where the enemy would turn on each other. And no one had to lift up a sword to kill nobody. He didn't have to get the blade out. He didn't have to do nothing. He didn't have to get the 40 and break it on the ground and go up with just a glass. Y'all ain't from the streets, I am. Didn't go and get a bat out of the truck to go deal with somebody. Didn't have to do none of that. Didn't have to do a drive-by because they were afraid to face the enemy. God says, I will fight your battles for you if you just line up with me. Listen to me. And I will raise a prophet in your season, in your time. Even though it started off in alignment, I will separate you in groups. Does it? He gives you victory over the opponent, over the one that has come against you, terrorized you, The Bible speaks that every time that they would go and plant their seeds for their harvest, they would come in and take it all. Because they were forceful and they would be the ones that were taking things away from them. They would go and take the cattle and everything from them, and they couldn't be sustained. But they were working and working and working, but everything was being taken away from them by the Midianites. God says, if you just listen to me and get in alignment, I will bend time. I will bend time where you were fighting for one. I will make you fight with me. Stand up by this. Where one can put 1,000, two can put 10,000. Why? Because I'm the multiplier in the middle. Because when two gather in my name and they touch and agree, they do it by the Spirit. And it is established because they agree with the multiplier. And what does he do? He takes away all that struggle and all of that toil. He says, let me do it. All you got to do is just agree with me. Believe my word. Believe it. And watch what I'll do. And then the enemy killed themselves. Did you get your word? Because the enemy kills itself and runs and runs, that they go to a new territory, a new home where they've never been, to find rest. A new home, never been, to find rest, find peace, find hope, and hope restored. There's a shift that is taking place. I said it on Sunday. There's a shift. There's something that's shifting. There's something that's shifting. I don't want to miss what God is doing. There's a shift in the atmosphere. I got sent a link to October's prophetic word from Bob Jones. I showed my wife. I said, Lord, you were up to something. I ain't got time to explain the whole thing. All I can tell you is supernatural things and supernatural occurrences are happening on behalf of the body. He's made us fishers of men, and he's made us to be harvesters of the souls. This is the harvest moon. I don't get into all of that eschatology. I don't, because I have something to do here, not there. Here. When he comes, he'll take me there. So I ain't worried about all that. I'm worried about what's now, the here and now. What am I here to do right now? Is to teach people how to love even when they don't want to love. You know the ones that get on your last nerve. Love them. I love you so much. You know how we get. We get all mad. I love you so much. When you're able to love your enemy and bless your enemy. Why do you think Jesus tells them, bless your enemy? Pray for your enemy. Because once you can do that, you have grown. But when you walk around and you got all kinds of... My church is better than your church is not like my church. You don't miss everything. It's not even your church. Sunday, I'm going to continue on in this series and talking to you. Y'all are something else. On how God is more interested in the body, the corporate body, than anything else. There's seasons where he'll bless you individually, but there's more power in a corporate blessing. Corporate. When you see the me-me-me's, you'll see them on their knee-knee-knees. But when you see all of us gathering together, woo, one mindset, one heart, and one purpose, God will begin to move corporately. And the corporate blessing, corporate, y'all know what a corporate blessing is? Gideon and his army, because God only came to bless him. But corporately, he said, how are you going to deliver us? He didn't make it about himself. He made it about everybody else. That's how you know you're in a place where the heart of God is being displayed. Whew. Lay on, John. Lay on, man. Come on, man. Come on. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Come on. Over at a moment yesterday, I saw Richard and I saw an angel standing right next to him. Right next to him. Keep playing, guys. Keep playing. And peace came over him. He was concerned for you, but peace came over him because he saw that what you were doing, you just wanted to help. You were just smiling. The angel that came to visit him was an angel of hope.